For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Jay Bello says $13 million. I'll prove whatever they want. Yeah. Yes. Jack says overcompensating for signing Carr to a long-term deal. That's why they all 1 year deals. All right, Jack. Thank you for that, bro. All right. Maul and Maul says Q, but Mickey said Dennis is the next legendary coach. Did he actually use those words? He said a lot of crazy stuff. A lot of stuff Mickey said, it just went in one. It's some of the most outstanding, really crazy things Mickey Loomis kind of. I'm like, fam, did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear what this guy said? I always, you know, do that. But anyway, all right, let's move on to the next thing, fam. This is a look at the Saints' current salary cap situation according to Over the Cap, right? All right, they're saying Saints at 18.6 mil currently. I think that number probably going to change in a little bit. We'll just keep monitoring on that. But, you know, just keeping a look at some of the money as well. And we talked about it, like when the Saints finally get back into the black, that the estimations had the Saints anywhere between 15 to 20 plus mil. And there's right in, but not exactly in between that, but 18.6, close to nine, you see. All right. So anyway, let's move to the next one. The Saints also signed an offensive lineman for the first time. The Saints have added an offensive lineman to the team. The Saints expected to sign former Viking guard tackle Ole Udo to a 1 year deal. So the Saints added some offensive line depth to the team. So the Saints also picked up another player today. The Saints signed this guy, Ole Udo, who is a former Viking offensive lineman that plays guard and tackle, started 18 games for the Vikings over a five-year period after being selected in the sixth round of the 2019 draft. So he's a six-round guy, played 18 games for the Vikings in 5 years. And in 21, he started 16 games, allowing only one sack that season. This would be the same season where new offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak spent his lone year calling plays for the Vikings. A little familiarity there. Saints will likely look to invest more at this spot in the coming weeks and likely in the draft as well. So there you go. We got a guy that that is familiar with Clint Kubiak to get ready. This is his first piece to the offensive line. So it's an unknown player to us, but he has 18 starts. And Clint Kubiak, our new offensive coordinator, knows this fellow. So he'll come in. He has some starting experience. Perhaps he'll push some of the guys at the guard position, in particular the left guard position, where we have James Hurst there. And we also have Nick Saldivari, who didn't play much at all last year. So yeah, you go to Saints. So the Saints get them a defensive end and an offensive lineman, interior lineman, we're thinking about, even though he plays outside and inside, we'll see how he's used. And anyway, I had the chance to kind of look at this. I didn't have a chance to study all of the film. I've seen a few things from him, but I wanted to take a look at his scouting information here. As you can see, very weird picture right there. I don't know why he's doing that, but what is going on here? You know, why is he bucking his eyes like that? What's going on, brother? What's wrong? Somebody scan you, brother? Is you staring at a picture of Pennyworth? I mean, what the hell going on? You know, why are you looking like that? You know, I don't know what's going on with that photo, brother. That you need to cut that out. right, so anyway, here goes the player bio. And Udo was one of the top scholar athletes in North Carolina in that area. He stayed in state to play football and all that kind of stuff. Grabbed the starting spot at right tackle in 2015 and never let go. He started 11 games in 2015 on the right side, all 11 games in 2016, and all 12 contests in 2017. Did not earn any conference honors of those three seasons, but was a first-team All-Colonial Athletic Association selection in 2018 and was recognized as an academic all-conference pick multiple times. So a very smart guy. And, of course, this is what Lance Zierlein, one of the scouts, said about him before he got drafted. Mammoth right tackle prospect with intriguing developmental traits as a run blocker and pass protection. Udo lacks the quickness for moving blocking duties, but has the power to generate push against opponents in front of him. There are exploitable holes in his pass sets for the NFL, but his size and length of potential improvement in his face are worthy of taking a shot on day three and develop a prospect that might require a year on the practice squad. So his strength is big legs, broad waist, burly chest, long arms, natural power, the ability to engulf and bulldoze stationary opponents, flashes nasty as a finisher, which is a positive. Size can factor in at the point of attack, good rhythm and kick slides, has feet for early mirror work to counter two-way rushers, adequate quickness to roll block the arc, and grip strength with plus power in hands. Carries pop at the end of his length to disorient the rush, has tools to improve additional coaching. Now, this is him coming out of college, so he did improve upon some of these strengths and kind of ironed out some of these weaknesses. So they mentioned him, one of his weaknesses being below quickness and unable to hit his landmarks on reach blocks and all this kind of stuff. But Clint Kubiak says, man, listen, the hell with all that. I know who Udo is besides this weird ass profile picture. We know that this guy could handle the business and play for us. So there you go. So yeah, welcome on in there, Udo, you know? All right. So thank you, Mr. Mel. Appreciate you. All right. For the culture. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that mighty super chat, a super, super chat. Appreciate you, brother, for that, man. Let me kind of hit you with the button there, man. I wanna say thank you very much. Picking me up, bringing me back to this world. All right. Thank you, Mr. Mel, for that, sir. All right. Not bad, man. Not bad at all, man. So, yeah, we'll see how this happens, bro. But we've been looking for some time to see the Saints make a move by picking up somebody from the offense, the offensive line. We were looking at several of the pass offensive linemen, the guards and tackles that were available in free agency. A lot of those guys have already gone. So you're going to see some guys that are left that don't have the name. And this definitely fits one of the traits. So like I said, I watched some tape on him. I'm going to be studying tape on Udo later on tonight to give y'all more of a detailed look into who this brother is and kind of look at what's going on with him. All right, now from him to another offensive lineman. How about this one? This guy we know about, Saints free agent offensive lineman, Andres Pete. I think he signed with the Titans, if I'm not mistaken. Y'all let me know in the chat if he did. Hold on. Matter of fact, let me check on that because I heard that too. I think Webatus drew that in the chat. I want to say either he close to or I think hold on. Give me a second. Let me. Yeah, he set for a visit with them. Okay. All right. Yes. I don't see him signing, even though they might have not reported it, but they said he's set with a visit for them. He could be possibly signing, but we'll see. Free agent Andres Pete is visiting the Titans on Monday. The veteran offensive lineman could be in high demand after playing well at the left tackle in 23. I don't think he played well at left tackle, brother. Having spent most of his NFL career at left guard, I always got love for Andres Pete, bro. Andres Pete learned how to play the guard position. He played all four positions except for center. I remember when they drafted Andres Pete, they had Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk there, and they brought in Andres Pete to be a tackle. He never played tackle before in college, and he came in. He came into camp. I think he came into camp out of shape. And boy, did Sean Payton get on this kid. Sean Payton got on this guy. And just, you know, he was in Coach Payton's doghouse. Coach Payton moved him all the way around the line. He just made it a point to make life difficult for Andres Pete. But it turns out that Coach Payton really turned Andres Pete into a versatile offensive lineman at the time because he played not only the left tackle position, but he was the swing tackle. When Teron Armstead would go down, he would fill in at the left tackle position until they did that all the way up until James Hurst came to the team. And then Andrus Peat slid inside. He learned how to play the guard position and actually won several Pro Bowls as an offensive guard, you know, for a position he never played before. He played right tackle, left guard, and right guard. And he was versatile, did some positive things for the Saints. 2023 wasn't all that in terms of how he played. I think he had a kind of an off year. But then again, you could kind of say that about the Saints offensive line as a whole. They were consistently what's the term? I don't want to be mean, but they were consistently crappy. You know, they were consistently up and down all around. You know, they would pull to go and block somebody and don't block them, or at least one guy will block, the other guy will miss the block. You know, that's why a lot of the plays were so disheveled when Kamara would handle on these tosses and sweeps. The guys wouldn't block who they were supposed to block. The guy would get in there and break the bust the play up, all this kind of weirdness. So to me, was that a product of the players or just a terrible coaching measurement or lack of coaching by Doug Marrone? Could be a combination of both. But Peat signed away by another team, the Saints will not receive a compensatory pick in 25's draft. That's because he agreed to rework his contract last summer, which caused him a pay cut. The Saints agreed to tear up the last year of his deal, allowing him to reach free agency ahead of the schedule. A tough break, seeing the Saints are forfeiting almost $13.6 million over that in dead money after past restructures with Peat. So they got to stomach that $13.6 plus million in dead money. That's how much of the salary cap space will be without, if he's playing elsewhere, without the promise of a comp pick coming back in next year's draft. But if it might be necessary, Peat has struggled with injuries throughout his career, being limited to 111 of 147 possible games in a regular season. The Saints overpaid him relative to the performance and had to work his contract for a while. So this dead money cap hip isn't anything new. If this is it for the Peat New Orleans, he'll be off the books altogether in 25. And if he's leaving, the Saints need to invest in quality insurance policies should Trevor Penning continue to struggle at tackle position. So we don't know exactly what's going to go on. That's another question that a lot of the Whodats have to figure out, is what's going on and what's going to happen with Trevor Penning. That's another thing that we got to cover and we got to deal with. Is what's the Trevor Penning thing going to look like? What's that going to look? So the offensive line is the next thing the Saints are kind of focusing on after they kind of added Chase Young to the defensive line. They got Willie Gay at linebacker. They did their thing there. And of course, you turn around and you look at the offensive line with the Saints now. Let me share the screen with you right here so you can see this is where we are right now. They got Ole Udoh kind of pegged at the left tackle position. We know he plays the guard. Perhaps he'd be looking at him to move him inside there. But there is openings there. The left tackle position, the blindside tackle position, definitely is an opening. We thought that they might attack that with a veteran, or you know, a top-ranking free agency veteran, but it appears the Saints are going to take the draft route to make that happen. And in the end, there are several really promising prospects that are available in terms of that. So if you look at the draft, hold on, let me show you a couple of these guys, fam. Give me just a second. Let me pull my screen up here so we can look at a couple of these guys that'll be available for the Saints in around. Because it does appear like the Saints are going to approach the draft that way and look at trying to bring guys in via the, you know, that way. Because, listen, like I said, I'm not really cool with the, you know, doing that, but in the end, it appears that just one of the things they're going to do, they're feeling comfortable. They're feeling pretty damn comfortable with it. Hold on just a second, fam. Let me get that my draft stuff pulled up here. Give me just a second. I thought I had my screen up here. Prospects, there we go. I thought I had my screen up. I must have clicked it off by mistake. All right, hold on here just a second, and I'll put this up on here. We'll go kind of cycle through some of this stuff here. Hold on just a second. Oh, that's not the right one. Yes. All right. So, yeah. So let me take a look at some of the prospects right here. From an offensive line standpoint, they have quite a few guys that's available. The Saints, I don't know if they'll be available with the Saints. I know a guy like Joe Alt more than likely is not going to be there. You know, Joel is more than likely going to be a top five, top 10 selection unless the Saints decide to move up, you know, and these are some of the top prospects that's available. Hold on, fam. A second. Let me, I can find you a better list than this one. Hold on just a second. No. Yes. All right. All right. Here we go. All right. Yeah, there we go. Okay, this is a better one right here. So you can see this one. This is by CBS. They do a wonderful job of laying it out. But this is a couple of the offensive linemen, the tackle position, blindside tackle. Some of these guys play right side, but, you know, and left and right side, but some of them are right side guys that have the potential to slide over to the blindside spot. You talk about Fashanu, who is the Penn State guy. They have him above Joalt. For the longest time, Joalt from Notre Dame was the top guy that's available. But some people do have Fashanu, the big Penn State offensive tackle, there ahead of him. Not too many people that have that usually is Joel, because Joel's been pretty solid for most of the year. So I see him in the top five, top 10, but Fashanu is not too far. Another guy that I kind of pegged, because I don't think Fashanu or Joel will slide to the Saints at that 14th position unless the Saints, you know, decide to move up, which I doubt that. But Talese Fuaga.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay. Is another guy that I like a lot from Oregon State. The big guy, 6'6", 330-something pounds, got some nastiness in him. He's not as athletic as you want, but he does have some. He could move as a big guy. I don't know if I want to call Talese Fuaga a dancing bear. I don't know if I want to call him that, because I've seen, you know, at times, you know, a little stiffness there, but he's, you know, he's not as athletic as Fashanu, or, you know, Fashanu can move. Then there's J.C. Latham, the big offensive tackle from Alabama, who's another really good, solid guy. So you got a couple of offensive linemen that'll be available when the Saints pick at 14, if that'll be the right at the route. But, a lot of guys are up there. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma is another very good offensive lineman. He's not ranked high as the guys that I just talked about, but he's another really good one. Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. He's another dude that a lot of people talk about as well. So they got quite a few guys that if the Saints, if they want to kind of slide and say, okay, yeah, we want to address the offensive line position with a tackle, we're going to go with this guy, that guy, and whatnot. So we're going to see how they all do it, but there'll be some people available, maybe not Fashanu, maybe not Alt, but definitely Fuaga. J.C. Latham could be there as well. Tyler Guyton could be there as well. So, I mean, there's quite a few linemen that if they want to do that, they can get a really good lineman in the draft. But you, like I said, it's always that thing in the back of your mind about, is it a good thing to have a rookie guarding the blind side of your $150 million quarterback who's already, who comes into the first season with deer in the headlight look, you know what I'm saying? He was all tore up last year, according to him. And the injury report. So, you know, are you feeling pretty good about putting a rookie there at the blindside position? That's another thing people have to talk about. And we like I said, we'll see, because the Saints could also make a trade. I mean, there's still other ways, maybe not in free agency. Perhaps they see somebody they like, they can make a trade. We all know that there were a ton of trades been going on during free agency, a bunch of them. A ton of quarterbacks being traded back and forth. That's, you know, during free agency. You know, we seen Atlanta trade Desmond Ridder to who they traded them to? The Cardinals, I want to say. Yeah, they traded them to the Cardinals for a wide receiver. So, you know, you might see the Saints make a few trades if they don't see something that they like. So, I don't know. They got those options to do what they want to do or what they can do to improve the offensive line, because that's really the next step here. We have to get that offensive line where it belongs, because there is no success unless we be able to solve some of these problems from the offensive line standpoint, to be honest with you. You know, and of course, there's still other positions of need that the Saints could attack, you know, in free agency. There's also you know, in the draft, you look at and you saying to yourself, man, what other needs could we do? You know, Cedric Wilson is a veteran wide receiver with good size. He's versatile, got some speed with him, some size, a physical guy. But, you know, the Saints have already added two guys along with the three guys we had on the team, and Cedric Wilson and Stanley Morgan. Are there more? I think there'll be more maybe in the draft or sometimes. I don't know if at the top. But then again, the Saints, we'll see how they handle the draft board, and with, because they'll have some players. The first two picks, the first round, second round, you're going to get a ball player. You're going to get a couple of ball players if you play it right, you know. But, it, you know, we'll see how they handle the skill position. But Cedric Wilson with Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed there, and then Stanley Morgan, who the return special teams man, looking at him there. And, of course, the Saints can elect to bring back some of its previous wide receivers if that's the case. But really, the Saints really need to improve, get that offensive line together, keep that going on, and keep it moving, keep it moving, keep it moving. Of course, another thing is, too, the Saints in the secondary, depth behind the secondary. A family member was asking me about about Marshawn Lattimore. I don't know about Marshawn Lattimore. I think the Saints need to just leave Marshawn Lattimore alone. We don't need to do anything with Marshawn Lattimore. We don't need to trade Lattimore. Although all I'm hearing is rumors. I'm hearing rumors, 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 rumors. I'm not hearing anything solid or whatnot. But you see a guy like left of the 49ers the other day. I just forgot the man. You're not a Saint no more. I don't remember you. That's how it is. That's how my mind be working now. But y'all know the young man that just left from the Saints out there. Yeah, Isaac Yiddum. Yiddum left to become the cornerback out there with the San Francisco 49ers, a 1-year deal. So he's gone. So the Saints going to have to address that as well. Maybe pick up a cheap veteran. There's always the chance that he can bring back a guy like Jonathan Abrams in the safety position. Hugo Amadi could be a guy that they can return and bring back. They can draft somebody as well. And it sits well because cornerback level in the draft is pretty good. You can get a guy with one of those picks, maybe the fourth round or, you know, somewhere up in there, they can get a DB. I'm pretty sure they'll probably end up getting a safety as whatnot. So, I mean, there's still routes or plays, players that's still available for the Saints to reach at the right price. So I don't know if they thinking about breaking the bank in terms of adding depth pieces, but whatever depth guys they add, they're not going to spend a lot of money for some of these people. I don't see them breaking the bank for some of these other guys. So anyway, we'll see how it plays though. Shout out to the fam. Y'all feel free to hit the like button. Y'all got any questions, please feel free to throw them in the chat. I'll do my best to answer them. Shout out to y'all guys. Thank y'all for spending y'all Monday with me. I hope you guys had a fantastic start off of your week on Monday. All right. So anyway, let me see if y'all are crazy, man. Three-time Pro Bowler. How about that? Yeah, at the guard position, man. It's crazy. IKD, man, says, I know we need help in the trenches, but man, if we don't get a splash skill position in the first three rounds, I'm gonna be tight. We too much day one starting talent this year for real. All right, thank you, KD. Yeah, they got a lot of people there, man. If you look at that draft board that I was showing, matter of fact, let me kind of go back to it. They're gonna have a lot of people available, man, for the Saints with those that first and that fourth round pick, and even beyond that, based on how the Saints handled the board. There's some talent. There's a lot of talent there. A lot of talent. A lot of talent, depending on what you're looking for. A lot of people like Byron Murphy from Texas, and I don't think he's going to be that. But perhaps, like I said, if you make a draft board, and that's what the Saints going to do, make a draft board and see which players fall to them or are available, and they'll draft them. Because it's starting to, it doesn't have that feel, right? We know there's still some time before the draft rolls around. They might sign another veteran or two. They could possibly trade prior to the draft for a veteran offensive lineman and bring them onto the team, something like that. Because I don't think this fellow that they just picked up today, Ali Udo, is the last of the Mohicans. Trey Turner could be a guy that they bring back. You know, it could be several things, but you want to have mobile guys that you can kind of throw there from an offensive standpoint. But I think that gets my attention more than anything, because the offensive line is the key to us having the type of success that we want to have. So there are a lot of talented players that's going to be available in this draft when the Saints pick. You know, like people ask me about, you know, Brock Bowers. If Bowers is that cue and he falls to him at 14, do you take him? Hell yeah, you take him. Hell yeah, you take him. Because you have a couple of guys that should be available in the second round. You can pick up still get a starting level offensive tackle in the second round. Perhaps, you know, you can still find a good solid offensive tackle in that second round. But if Bowers is there, you got to look at them. So, you know, like I said, there'll be quite a few people, man, that'll be available. A lot of really good players that'll be available in the draft. Look, all these guys, Kool-Aid, McKinstry, and all these fellas here, man. Michael Penix Jr., Tyler Guyton, I talked about him. Fisk from Florida State, all these guys here, Keon Coleman, you know, it's just a lot of talented players, man, that's going to be available when the Saints. Look at that. Chris Braswell is another really talented player for the black and gold. Michael Hall Jr., Trotter Jr., he's another player that is pretty interesting. Kitchens from Miami, that's another guy I was watching tape on as well. Malachi Corley is another dude that kind of grab some eyes and all that. So it's quite a few really good players. Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, who stepped up. So, I mean, it's quite a few really talented players that you can kind of look at and be like, man, this guy here, look at Michael Pratt from Tulane right here. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool in the draft, man, this year to see it. Tavondre Sweat is another dude that's pretty damn good, man. I've seen some have him a lot higher than this. But like I said, everybody got their own different draft boards. But like I said, it's a ton of talent in this draft, and if the Saints do what they're supposed to do, they meet the needs, they should be fine. All right, so anyway, let's keep it going, man. Shout out to the fam. We got another free agent pick right here. Brent, shout out to Brent, man. Appreciate you being here. He said they got rid of Rankins and Henderson, then backing up Crawfish and Tiss the season. Come on, man. Yeah, Rankins and Henderson, right? All right, thank you, Brent. Appreciate you, man. I want to say thank you very much. All right, shout out to you, brother. Appreciate you on the super chat there, man. Appreciate you. JT is in the building. What's up, brother? JT, shout out to you, man. Appreciate you. Demi, shout out to you. Good to see you in the chat as well. Jack, where's the small school projects that showed up for the Senior Bowl? You know that's coming late on in the draft, brother. You know how we do. The Saints get involved with that Senior Bowl, and then you know when they go out there, they're going to pick guys from the Senior Bowl. They are famous for that. Like they did that with Nick Saldivari last year. When Nick Saldivari, they had him doing different things out there, and they liked how he is, and then they performed, and they end up signing a dude to a, you know, they end up drafting a dude and bringing him on to the team. So that happens. Mark says, how in the hell do we let Jameis go and pick up a bust like Peterson at QB? Come on, man. Well, listen, bro, I did put together a reel of highlights, man, from Nate Peterman that actually made him look pretty decently, man. So if you want to check that, you want to check that out, Mark, check that out, man. I actually made him look pretty decent. He actually has shown some talented plays from Nathan Peterman. Peterman, not Peterson, but Peterman. It's got to get the man name right. All right, is Nathan Peterman a bust like Peterson? No. All right, so yeah, we got to get the damn man name right, brother, before we start doing all that other stuff. All right, No Larger says Young, Gay, and Wilson are sneaky good moves. They are. I do like the Chase Young move. I like the Willie Gay move. Cedric Wilson is another move that if you study the film on Cedric Wilson, he's a pretty solid player for you. Mark says, hey, you're right, Jerry, got to get rid of the loser. Big Ant, what's up, fam? Appreciate you, brother, for that. All right, thank you so kindly. What's up, Professor? How you doing, sir? Says Cooper, right, DeJean, cornerback from Iowa, if the Saints get stupid and trade Lattimore. I hope they don't. I'm against that. You know, like I said, there's something to it. I don't know what's going on with that, Professor, but it's something going on with that right now. I don't know. I'm hoping that they hold on. They don't do nothing dumb. Claude says, Q, did you check into Braylon Edwards? I did watch some stuff from Braylon Edwards, man, and Braylon Edwards is actually a pretty damn good player, man, if you think about it. Matter of fact, let me see if I can pull him up here, man, because it was some other people we talked about as well. And I know I looked into Jonathan Brooks. Trey Benson was another dude that I was looking into. Bucky Irvin from Oregon. Blake Corum from Michigan. That's another dude I mocked, is a dude, a powerful little runner from Michigan. The dude's small, but very powerful, catches the ball out the backfield, put in a lot of work for Michigan last year. Who else is we talking about? It's the kid from USC who's not too bad. But yeah, Braylon, let me see if I can pull him up. Big guy, big back. Man, let me see if I can pull him up here. I ain't getting nothing from him. Hold on. I was trying to see if I could pull up some highlight film on him, bro, that I was watching. It was on X. Let me see if I could pull that film up here. I was watching something, a film, like a little highlight feed they put together on X about Braylon Allen. And I know he's the dude is, he's 6'2", and like he like 230 something pounds. He might be heavier than that, but I know he's a big back. He's a big old back, man. Let me see if I can pull something up, Bob. Yeah, here's some of it right here. Matter of fact, man. Yeah, hold on. Hold on, bro. Let me share this with the family, man. Because this is what we talking about right here. This dude right here. This little guy right here. Well, he ain't little. The dude, he about 6'2", 235. I know it's probably 240 plus or something like that. But this is some of the film from him that I was watching on X on the plate. And the dude, that's him right there with the ball. And look at him. It's like he tough to bring down, man. It's a tough ass running back. Usually he's a tough runner, man. That's what I like about them. It kind of remind me, I ain't gonna say of the big running back used to play for the Giants, but for whatever reason, I don't know. I'm not gonna call him the Brandon Jacobs type back, but the dude, here it is. This is watching right here that he can turn it on, man. This little dude is exciting, man. Very exciting. This is him. This is the run right here on the draw right here. Ran right up the center, broke several tackles on the way. And look at, he got that gear, turned it on, got the DBs chasing him, and he gets all the way down. So yeah, he's a big physical runner. He's about 6'2", 235, some say 245, but he's a hell of a running back, man. Yeah. Look at that, breaking several tackles. He got a little gear right there and he was able to get down. But you know, one thing I noticed when I was watching some of the limited film that I seen on him, that he's one of these guys that always seems to fall forward. That's the thing I like about him the most. He always seems to fall forward. So thank you for putting him on my radar, man. I'm going to keep watching. I heard about the dude before, man. I just, it's been a lot going on. I've been paying most of the attention to the wide receivers and other position groups. I hadn't really been paying attention too much to the running backs. I was looking at some of the running backs. I like Trey Benson a lot.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.